been on the horizon for some time now, but that doesn't mean the shift to carbon pricing this weekend has been a simple exercise for those businesses directly affected. The 300 liable entities who'll be paying the tax have been working around the clock to be ready for the July 1 start date. If they get it wrong, the penalties can be substantial. In this latest report in our series looking at the introduction of Australia's carbon price, our business editor Cheryl Bagwell talks to two companies on the front line.
Well, natural gas is billed as the cleanest form of fossil fuel, but extracting it and getting it to market still produces substantial amounts of greenhouse gases.
The emissions are associated with the CO2 removal and also fuel use. So we burn our own gas in our engines to produce the energy required to then pump the gas to market. So really in the industry jargon is fuel, flare and vent, and that's where our emissions come from.
Susie Smith is Manager for Climate Change and Sustainability at the gas giant Santos. It's one of 300 so-called liable entities that'll have to pay the carbon tax from July 1. As a percentage of Australia's total greenhouse gas emissions, Santos's contribution is relatively small. But Susie Smith says its carbon tax bill will be substantial.
Santos's emissions from our operated sites are around 3.5 million tonnes. But when you have a $23 carbon price, that's $80 million. So it's certainly something we want to manage well.
Indeed, Susie Smith and her team have been working hard to ensure Santos is ready for the July 1 starting date for carbon pricing.
We've got six people full-time on carbon at the moment that sit within my team. Half of those are working on the numbers, not only on a facility basis, but numbers for our customers and our joint venture partners. And then on the commercial side, so understanding the business impacts, embedding the price, making sure that we have the right compliance arrangements in place. We have another three people there. So that's gone from one person 4 years ago to six people in current terms.
Are you viewing July 1 with trepidation, or do you see yourselves as kind of really well prepared for it? It's just another day.
For Santos, I think we definitely are well prepared. I think on July 1 it might be a little bit like the Y2K. If you are well prepared, it will go by without a blip. But if you aren't well prepared, you'll certainly notice the impact.
And the impact could be onerous. Failure to comply with the government's carbon pricing scheme carries substantial penalties. Susie Smith again.
Penalties are 130% and they will accrue 5 days after the conclusion of the compliance period. And then moving into the flexible price, it goes up to 200%.
So are you saying that you could face a penalty of $80 million or more if you don't?
It's certainly not my intention or my team's intention that we would face a penalty. So the way the legislation works is that you don't have an obligation to pay, but you do have a what they call a unit shortfall charge. And so if we don't pay on time, then we would pay that penalty, which would be 130%, or in the floating price, 200%. So instead of an $80 million, it would go up to a $160 million bill.
So there must be a lot of pressure on you to get it right.
Yeah, but that's what we're paid to do. And as I said, we've had 3 years to get the numbers right.
Well prepared too is the national airline Qantas. Airlines are heavy emitters. Qantas estimates it burns something like 5 million tonnes of CO2 each year in its domestic operations alone. Under the government scheme, airlines face an effective carbon tax through annual increases in the domestic aviation fuel excise. That adds up to an extra cost for Qantas of around $110 million in the first year of carbon pricing alone. John Velastro is head of environment at Qantas.
It may not be as big a deal for us as it has been for some other industry groups because we have been looking at carbon management for some years.
Indeed, Qantas has a good deal of experience of carbon pricing mechanisms.
Come July 1, that'll be actually the third scheme that we're operating under, because we already operate under the New Zealand scheme and also the European scheme as well. We might be the only airline in the world that's operating under three schemes at present.
Unlike trade-exposed businesses like Santos, which will receive 50% of its carbon permits for free, there's no direct compensation for the airlines. So that means the cost of the carbon tax is going to be passed down to us, their customers, through higher ticket prices. John Velastro again.
There's a number of significant challenges that are facing the industry, the global aviation industry, and we just don't have the ability to absorb the additional costs of the carbon price.
So fair to say that the financial burden of this scheme for Qantas is nil?
I wouldn't go that far. I mean, there's a limit to how far you can pass on costs. So from our perspective, it's a watch and see process for us to see how we manage across all these different components of what we're trying to deliver.
Watching, assessing, complying, well, that doesn't come cheap. Maria Tarrant is Deputy Chief Executive of the Business Council of Australia.
Those companies that are major emitters have had to put a substantial investment in being compliant. You know, there have been changes to their reporting requirements, they've had to work out in joint ventures who's liable, they've had to comply with the requirements of the regulator in terms of all the paperwork that goes with that. So there's been a substantial set of effort to make sure people can comply with the reporting, comply with the liability.
So is it worth all this effort? Will the carbon tax achieve the desired environmental outcomes? Or will it fail to do that and damage the economy in the process? The responses to those questions are as diverse in the business world as they are in the broader community. For its part, the BCA maintains there are worrying flaws in the government's carbon pricing scheme, including a starting price, it says, is way too high. Maria Tarrant again.
What's really critical is that governments create an environment that is attractive for investment in Australia and regulatory regimes that don't adversely inhibit that investment, and particularly long-term investment. Because to be perfectly honest, investment capital is mobile and people will be looking for safe ports over time. So the ambiguity of the current climate and the ambiguity of this legislation will mean people will start making judgments over time about where's the best place to invest. Now, what the outcomes of that are, we really don't know.
We're heading off into the unknown. That's Maria Tarrant, the Deputy Chief Executive of the Business Council of Australia, ending that report from our business editor, Cheryl Bagwell. And tomorrow we look at the carbon tax and its impact on you and your household. The government says 9 out of 10 households will be compensated to help adjust to the carbon tax.